Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
I'm Don Fleckinger, news director for SearchHealthIT.
Hi, I'm Sean Sutner, news and features writer.
And together we are known as the Hit Squad in this new podcast series. Glad that you can join us today to hear our latest takes on the news of health IT.
Don, there's some new developments in how health IT touches Ebola.
Yes, it turns out last week that Dr. Daniel Varga, Chief Clinical Officer for Texas Health Resources, which is the parent company that oversees Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital, where Thomas Duncan showed up with Ebola, was released and then was readmitted later. He was called before Congress, specifically the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and the New York Times reports that he revealed some new details about Duncan's early days of care, and basically they talked about the shortcomings in their preparedness for an Ebola patient. And Varga went on to actually apologize for what he said was inaccurate information given by the hospital in the early days of Duncan's care. Now, did not specifically mention the comments that the hospital later retracted about their Epic Systems EHR being to blame for Duncan's premature release, but you can kind of connect the dots and think what you will. So that's a very interesting development, that it was a big mea culpa before Congress.
Okay, so I heard that the CDC and ONC have an initiative about Ebola. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, the CDC and ONC last year put together an initiative to help providers meet stage one and stage two of meaningful use, right? So they can report to public health agencies. And they've sort of bent that like a paperclip into a new Ebola-focused screening tool, sort of making CDC's guidelines a part of electronic medical records through this public health EHR vendors collaboration initiative. And health data management reports that they're trying to hardwire these protocols into EHRs so that patients' travel histories are better tracked and recorded.
It sounds like a positive development.
Yeah, you never know. Sometimes these things take a while to develop, and sometimes they can move fast. We'll see how the vendors pitch in and make this happen. I think that's where the rubber hits the road on that one. And I understand, Sean, last week you were knee-deep in researching VNAs for our November e-zine called The Pulse that will be out November 5th. What did you learn about VNAs?
Completely different topic than the one we just touched on, by the way. VNAs are a pretty hot technology in health IT right now. I learned that there's two basically distinct approaches. There's a cloud-based and there's a enterprise-based approach.
And for listeners who aren't familiar, VNAs are vendor-neutral archives, which is sort of the large bucket in which you can store all of your radiology images, and also now I guess that's expanding to dermatology and oncology and other disciplines as well.
Yes, all the ologies, really. I mean, many different departments in healthcare systems and hospitals are going to be able to and can now send their images directly to this central bucket, theoretically, irrespective of what vendor they were produced with, by.
And the main benefit to this technology, which I guess was popular in the early 2000s, but now has really rebounded because of meaningful use. The VNAs are the mechanism through which these specialists can share their images with patients and primary care providers, right?
Correct. I mean, there's a lot of sharing going on, in the medical world right now, and VNAs are going to make that a lot easier. We used to have these systems called PACS, which were separate silos for the different disciplines, and now the VNAs kind of unite those also all these things in one place. And VNAs are pretty high on the wish list of a lot of CIOs right now, but they can be pricey.
So the other wrinkle that's sort of emerging now, because VNAs in their second rebounding of popularity among health IT buyers, is the big decision of cloud vendors hosting your VNA, or you self-host it on your premises. Did you get a sense from the users of various VNA vendors' products that there's a clear winner or preference, that the cloud is taking over the traditional on-premises hosted VNA, or what was the sense you got?
I didn't really get a clear sense of either one dominating, either approach, because both approaches have their advantages and their disadvantages and their partisans and their critics, just pretty much like the rest of health IT. So, the cloud, you have to have a lot of cloud storage to store these medical images. That's one constraint on the cloud. Security really isn't a worry in this area, though. People are not going around stealing dermatology images from VNAs, so that gives the cloud a big advantage. We don't have the security worries. It's just the amount of storage and the cost of that storage for these terabyte and petabyte-sized files.
Right. All right. Well, that's all interesting stuff, and this has been an interesting conversation. I'll see you next week, Sean.
See you then, Don.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.